I want to bring a message to you today. Christmas, it's a time we celebrate, really for many different reasons, at least people in general celebrate Christmas for many different reasons. Brother Leske even mentioned that crime is down around this time, right? In your time of policing, people just, they want to celebrate. They want to do that. And we celebrate, we know what we celebrate. We celebrate the Lord coming as a man, Jesus Christ. And as I was studying this, you think about this moment in all of time is of great significance. I mean, it is something that's been thought of before the world was created, that the Lord had already planned all of this together. This moment was the completion of a plan that was determined before the Lord God ever created this world. Before he created the stars and the galaxies, he had a plan, and he put this plan together. And when the Lord made the world, and he made man, he made them complete. He made them righteous. It was perfect. There was no error, no problems. And man represented his creator to all creation, and all lived in submissive harmony to God, to the God. And the Lord, wanting man's fellowship, he gave him the ability to exercise free will. Meaning, he did not have to live in harmony with God if he didn't want to. It was possible for him to rebel. And you know, that's exactly what did happen. Man did rebel. And Eve took of the fruit, you know the story in the garden, and Adam did too. They wanted to be wise, at least that was what the serpent told Eve, to be wise, to know good and evil, even as gods. And by the way, man wanted to be the decider of good and evil, and ever since, man has tried to fill that role, being the decider, deciding what's good and what's not. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. I'm the decider. And that's part of the fall. That's really fundamentally what the fall was about. I decide, and God has to agree with what I think. Not good. So there's a problem there that separated man from God because he was in rebellion. And the Lord, he wanted man to be reconciled to him. And that's always been his plan, that man would be in God and that they would have fellowship together. And he knew that man would fail, he would rebel. And because of that, he predetermined a way for man to be reconciled to his creator. And there are so many prophecies about this. The Lord even spoke about this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, how that the adversary, Satan, would be destroyed by the seed or the offspring of the woman. And so there's the first inkling that we have that there's going to be a seed, an offspring, that's going to do something, and it's going to destroy Satan, the adversary. But even later, and I'm only hitting a few here, there's so many, but there was a promise to Abraham. And this is, again, this is 4,000 years ago from now, Abraham was, and a promise to him, the Lord told Abraham that his offspring, through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. Through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. There was a promise given to a man named Judah. The Lord told Judah, he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and Jacob was a grandson to Abraham. He says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So he says way back then that there will be one whom the people would be gathered to, and he would be of the tribe of Judah, and he is called Shiloh, which means completeness, because he's going to complete, he's going to fulfill all things. Even later on, to the children of Israel, there was a promise given. The Lord said to them that a prophet will come, one like Moses. He's going to come. And that whole passage is interesting if you want to read it in Deuteronomy 18. But in Deuteronomy 18, I'll just look at a couple of verses. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. He's speaking to Moses. So like unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. The Jews even understood that there was a prophet coming. They asked John the Baptist, are you the Christ? Are you that prophet? Are you Elias? Because they knew Elias was coming too. So they asked all these questions. This was a promise given to Israel. Another promise to David. The Lord promised David that he would establish his kingdom forever. By the way, David was of the tribe of Judah. There was promises given through a prophet named Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. They lived in darkness because they had rejected the Lord. And so they were in the darkness of wickedness, but the promise is that light will come. In verses 6 and 7, it says a child will be born. Again, this is 2,700 years ago, 700 years before Christ. And he says that he will be a ruler. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So someone's coming, a child is coming, he will be a ruler, his kingdom will last forever. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's promises that are going to happen. There will be a seed. The seed will crush the serpent, crush the adversary. There's going to be a seed in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. There's going to be a seed of Judah, who is going to be a lawgiver. He is going to be Shiloh. He's going to be the completer. He is going to be a prophet, and he is going to speak on behalf of the Lord. He is going to be a king upon the throne of David. He's going to be born like a child. His kingdom will last forever. Also in Isaiah chapter 11, he says this, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father, David the king. So it's talking about that same line. A rod shoot forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And it describes what he'll be like a little bit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Some promises that were given a long time ago. There are others. I wanted to mention Isaiah 55. He says that this one who's coming, he's going to be bruised for our iniquities. They're going to... The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took punishment for us. This was all prophesied long ago. There's a promise through Micah. Micah 5, 2 through 4, it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. These are just a few of the promises that were given way back in long ago, before it ever happened. There was great anticipation in Israel because they were looking for someone to fulfill this, someone to restore righteousness. Can you imagine if you're waiting for the Messiah? Maybe he'll come now and maybe he'll restore righteousness and he's going to free us from our enemies and it's going to be wonderful. He's going to establish the kingdom again, especially for an Israel that had been cast down. If you have your Bible and you would like to follow along, go to Luke chapter 1. We'll spend the rest of our time here in Luke. The fulfillment of these things. This is a plan that God had, again, from the foundation of the world. In Luke chapter 1, look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And his virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when he saw him, he was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. These are all promises that were made long ago. And he's saying, this is the one, this is the seed that I spoke of in Genesis. To Abraham, yes, but to Adam, Eve, and the serpent, yes. Verse 33 says, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This is the fulfillment of these things. This is the excitement of what's going on. They've been waiting for 4,000 years for this to happen. And it's time. The Lord said he would do it in the fullness of time. And now it's time. The Savior would be born, a child, what he had said so long ago. Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who was old and barren, yet had a child. That child would become John the Baptist. That was all by the miracle of the Lord. But it says in verse 39, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Even later here in Luke, I want to read some of the things that Zacharias said. Zacharias was the husband to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was the cousin to Mary. Zacharias and Elizabeth were older. They had a child when they were older. She was barren, but it was a miracle of the Lord, and he would be named John. And at that moment, when the child was born, Zacharias said something at the birth. If you look at verse 66, And they all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn is something has to do with strength, it's symbolic of kings, but it's the horn of salvation, this strength. And he says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, as we've read just a few of them, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's God's plan. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. John the Baptist, he would be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zacharias spoke all of that by the Holy Spirit. And notice all the references that we've already read. He's referencing them again. This is what Jesus Christ is and what he came to do. And Christ, Jesus, he is God. He is the highest, he says here. So this baby, the reason we celebrate Christmas is this baby is the promised is the seed promised in Genesis chapter 3. This baby is the seed promised to Abraham that in him would all nations of the earth be blessed. This baby is the promised ruler to sit on the throne of David. This baby is the king whose kingdom will have no end. This baby is the prophet that the Lord has sent, whose words he will require of those that reject him. This baby is the promised Savior who was determined to come before the world was ever made. This baby is the one who would save man from their sins. He's the one who would reconcile man to God. That's why he came. That was the plan. And it's always been God's plan that we would be in him, in the Lord. That's his design for all men, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. And his plan was that we would be adopted into his family. And how can we be adopted? How can we be part of the family of God? We're not all born that way. It's through Jesus Christ. It's in him we have redemption. It's through his blood. And if you'll be reconciled to God, you have to come through Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. So how can I come to the Lord? How can I be reconciled to him? You have to repent of your sin. What do you mean? All the little things I do? Well, sure. But just lump it all together, it's especially of not submitting to him. That's really the sin. We've rejected the Lord. Repent of your sin and believe on Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. That's important, both of those things. He is the righteous Son of God, and he died to pay for your sins. They buried him, but then by the power of God, he rose from the dead, defeating death. And the moment you turn to the Lord, you are a child of God. You are born again. You are adopted. You're saved from your sins and the penalty of sin, which is hell. You're a new creature, and we could just keep going on with the list. There's so many things when someone is in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, I've already done that. Praise the Lord. Think of all of the things that we have because of the Lord. He says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus came and he died. That confused some people. It confused a lot of people because they were expecting a king to come to set up a kingdom. And Jesus said, I have. I've begun my kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he says people are joining the kingdom of God as we speak. And what does that mean? It means if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're in the kingdom. You're a citizen of the kingdom. Now, coming a day soon to come, he says, I'm coming back. In fact, the disciples were there after he rose from the dead. 40 days they were with him, and then they were on top of the Mount of Olives. And as they were talking, as they were there, Jesus, he ascended up into heaven, and a cloud received him. And just before that happened, they asked the Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And he says, it's not for you to know the time. It'll happen, but it's not for you to know. And as he went up, there were two men in white apparel beside them saying, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, he's going to come back. Just like he went up, he's coming back. And we don't know when. But when he does, that'll be the second part. He's going to fulfill all the rest of those things where he sets up his kingdom on this earth. And he will reign, and his kingdom will never end. And who will be in his kingdom? Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone else will not be. In fact, they will suffer the punishment of eternal hell. So Jesus came to begin a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and he did it. And one day he's coming soon, and he'll come back, set up that kingdom to complete the rest of the prophecy. They were excited because they understood, it's happened, it's time, this is the baby, this is the seed that was promised 4,000 years ago. This is the theme of the book, if you will. This is the main part of the story. It's now. Everybody was looking towards that, and now all of us are looking back to that because it's so significant. It is the defining moment for man. Because he died in our place, we can be reconciled to God. Only way. And he was buried, he rose again. It's simple. Repent, trust in Christ to save you. If you've done that, praise the Lord. Take some time. Think about some of these things. Go read the prophecies. They're amazing. You think, wow, this is significant. This is very significant. Dear Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for the baby who became a man, who is our Savior, our God. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be mindful of these things. If there's anyone that has a doubt in their mind, I ask you, Lord, that you would just prompt their hearts, that they'd get it settled, that they'd know for sure that they have trusted you and that their sins are forgiven. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right.